I'll be reading tonight in the book of Matthew, if you have your Bibles, chapter 14. I'd like to say I really enjoyed the service this morning and the word of the Lord that we heard from Brother Joey Dean. Brother Joey did a wonderful job preaching to us, and Brother Barnett blessed us with the word of God, and we just fed on the word and then had such a wonderful meal here. And thank the Lord for the people of God here. I feel like I'm among friends. I feel apprehensive, not because I feel like you're my enemy, but, you know, and I really don't doubt the Lord's faithfulness, but I just wonder if I can do what I need to do, you know. And I don't want to fail him. And I realize, too, that there are people here in various conditions in this service here tonight who've come here needing help from God. Maybe somebody here just yearning for help from God. And I don't want to miss the Lord. I want to be able to minister to you according to the will of God tonight. I appreciate Brother Randy. I appreciate his ministry and the church here and your kindness to us. Thank you for the offering. If you will, stand with us as we read in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to be together tonight to preach the word of the Lord to this wonderful congregation. I pray, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost and ask you, Lord, to send forth your word tonight. I pray that it would do good to the souls of the people that have assembled here in this service. I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage your people, edify the body of Christ, and build us up in the most holy faith. We'll give you the praise and honor. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach tonight for a few minutes on the master of the storm. In my text, Jesus was trying to break up a premature attempt to make him a king. He had fed 5,000 men plus women and children with five loaves of bread and two fishes. And the multitude wanted to make Jesus a king. But the effort was premature and dangerous at this time. And besides, it seems like they wanted to make Jesus a bread king. And Jesus was not going to be a bread king. He was going to establish a kingdom. First of all, he's going to establish a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of believers. And later on, he's going to take those believers and establish a literal kingdom on this earth in a thousand-year reign. But first of all, he must do the spiritual work. That multitude that day may have included some surrendered souls to Jesus, but that little disciple band that was with him comprised a miniature sample of the kingdom of God. They were men who had yielded their wills unto the Lord, answered his call and his command to follow Jesus, And they already had Jesus as the king in their hearts and lives. Jesus would build a spiritual kingdom, but before establishing a political kingdom, he must build that spiritual kingdom in men's hearts. So to relieve this tense situation of this multitude wanting to make Jesus a king, Jesus sent his disciples across the sea while he dismissed the multitude. And I want to call attention to three things in my text about Jesus. First of all, I want you to see his instructions that he gave to his disciples. I want you to see his intercession that he made for his disciples. And I want you to see his intervention on behalf of his disciples. First of all, let's look at the instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples. In my text, Jesus gave specific instructions to those disciples. In verse 22, he said to them, or Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side. That word constrain means to compel or to force. So the language implies that there was a reluctance on the behalf of the disciples to get into that boat and go unto the other side. But Jesus urgently pressed them. He constrained them to get in that boat and go across to the other side. The scriptures tell us in other places, we put the scriptures together, the gospel rendition of this particular story, and they indicate that the time was late in the day. The meal that had been served to that 5,000 had been served in the evening time, or late in the day, and now it was evening, and the night was closing in. And this journey would have to take place in the night. They would have to row across the sea in the darkness. And Jesus was not going to be with them in the boat. They'd be alone in that boat, rowing across the sea in the darkness. They were reluctant to leave. But nevertheless, at the urging of Jesus, they got in the boat and they embarked for the other side. I think it's true of us as well as them that there are times we may not understand the directions that God gives to us. And we really may not feel the same urgency as our Lord when he's trying to get us to do something, to go a certain direction. We may dread the path. We may dread the circumstances of that path and the circumstances that we see ahead of us, as the disciples did. The instructions of Christ may involve a change in our lifestyle. It may involve a change in our career. It may involve a call to leave our comfort zone and to be a better witness for Jesus. It may involve various situations in our life that we dread the path that Jesus has pointed out for us. He may insist on a change in our location. He may insist on a reorganization of our family priorities. He may even insist on the sacrifice of our most treasured possession, as he did to Abraham when he told him to go offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And it really has been my experience through the years that when the Lord gives difficult instructions, that he patiently but persistently repeats his directions for those that are fearful of following his instructions. The songwriter said it like this: he compels me to go when I would rather stay. He sent me a valley once again today. My self-determined will keeps tearing me apart, but when the work's completed, I'll have a servant's heart. You may be reluctant tonight to take that path that Jesus is pointing out for you. But I'm telling you, brother, if you'll go ahead and get in the boat and start rowing the way that Jesus has told you to go, Jesus knows what's best for you. And I'm telling you, he'll never let you down. Praise God. Secondly, I want you to see the intercession of Jesus for his disciples.
in my text, when the disciples embark, Jesus goes alone to the mountain to pray. We're not given the content of his prayer, but we are told by Mark that Jesus had his eye on those disciples while they were in that boat out on the sea. Mark chapter 6, verses 47 and 48 says, "And when the even was come, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them." In the darkness of that night, in the midst of that storm, Jesus was watching and praying. You know, it really is valuable to know that Jesus has prayed for you, that he is our intercessor. That later on, Jesus will warn his disciple Peter of an imminent spiritual storm in his life. In Luke chapter 22 and verses 31 and 32, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." I want to say that Peter was saved by that prayer. Out on the dark Sea of Galilee, 12 men in a little boat represented the kingdom of God on earth. They were men surrendered to the lordship of Jesus Christ. They were rowing in obedience to the command of Christ. 11 of these men will be present on the day of Pentecost when the New Testament church is birthed and empowered by the Holy Ghost. They'll lay the foundation for the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that Satan would have loved to have drowned every one of these men on that dark night filled with storm and tempest. But out of their sight, in that mountain, the Son of God is praying for them that they not fail in the mission that he has for them. They must not fail. They will not fail to make it to the other side. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that Jesus has not just prayed for them. Jesus has prayed for you as well. In his great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, Jesus indicated that his prayer was a petition not just for his disciples of that day, but for believers of every generation. Amen. "Neither pray I for these alone," Jesus said, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." He described our mission in verse 18 of that chapter, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." We are the expression of the kingdom of God in this world. We've been sent into the world. And Jesus warned us that there would be trouble on our voyage. He said, "If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." Brother, through history, this band of believers in Jesus Christ has often appeared as frail as a storm-tossed vessel on the Sea of Galilee. And the devil has tried every way he could to try to sink that boat and destroy the church of Jesus Christ. But Jesus has prayed for us. He prayed for us to be kept from the evil in this world. He said, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but I pray that you keep them from the evil that's in the world. He prayed for us to be a sanctified people. He said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And he prayed for us to be one in him, as I am one with the Father, so that they would be one, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Brother, a civil war within our ranks destroys the effectiveness of our witness to the world. And Jesus prayed for us. He prayed for our ultimate success in navigating the treacherous waters of this world. And he said further in his prayer, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that thou hast given to me before the foundation of the world. For thou lovest me, he says, before the foundation of the world. Brother, when you are storm-tossed on your journey, I want you to keep in mind that Jesus has prayed for you. Listen to me now. When Jesus spoke to Peter, he did not say to Peter, I am praying for you. He said, I have prayed for you. And that prayer that Jesus prayed for him was what saved Peter. And I want you to know now, Jesus is praying for us. He is our intercessor, but he has prayed for us. In John chapter 17, Jesus has prayed for every believer in this place, that we'd be kept, that we'd be holy, that we'd be used of God, that we'd make it all the way. Jesus has prayed for everybody in this place. And I'm telling you, I believe that prayer carries all the way to glory. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank God for the prayer of Jesus. Not only did Jesus intercede for them, but Jesus also intervened for them. And in my text, brother, that long, perilous, exhausting night just drug on and on toward the last watch of the night with no sign of Jesus. And Matthew tells us in verse 24 of my text, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. That little boat was buffeted by the wind and by the waves. And you know, there are times in the lives of these disciples that we could really level some valid criticism against them for their weakness and failure and lack of faith. But this is not one of them. Mark tells us that Jesus saw them toiling in rowing. The master had told them to go to the other side. And even though that progress in that direction seemed to be almost impossible and certainly very perilous, they fought the storm. They refused back. It would be easier for them to turn back instead of fighting the storm. But Jesus said to them, you go this direction. You go across to the other side. And brother, these men are doing what Jesus told them to do. They ran into a storm, not because they're disobedient. They ran into a storm because they were obedient to what Jesus had told them to do. But if they perished, they would perish pushing toward the goal that Jesus set for them. They were weary. They were worn. Their muscles were aching. There's no relief in sight. It had been a long day before, and now it had been a long night in the storm, and they'd had a desperate struggle to stay afloat and to keep that craft pointed in the right direction. And brother, I don't have any doubt that in that dark night as they fought that storm, that they felt like they were near the breaking point, just wondering if they could outlast the storm. But what they did not know, in that long dark night, when they were almost at the end of their strength, there was a change in the weather coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In fact, there was somebody walking on the water toward them right then. They did not know it. They couldn't see Jesus. It was the nighttime, but Jesus was headed their way. He came to them, the Bible says, in the fourth watch of the night. Sometimes, brother, our darkest hour is just before dawn. It seems like I have seen people give up just before the victory came. And I'm trying to encourage you tonight that no matter how dark your storm may be, hold on, brother. Sometimes the victory comes in the darkest part of the night when you feel like you've just about reached the end of your rope. And I may be preaching to some weary mother tonight in this service, some tired grandmother, some struggling young person who seems to be at the very end of their spiritual strength. I may be preaching to a father that's stretched thin, the responsibilities of home and work and, you know, taking care of children has worn you down and you dread to face tomorrow. It seems like your storm will never end, and the darkness, you know, compounds the panic, and you feel like sometimes that life is out of control. But you're still praying, and you're still coming to church, and you're still determined to do right. And it, no matter how hard the battle is, you're still hanging in there. You don't know how much longer you can hold out without some relief, but you're still going the direction He sent you to go. And I want to encourage you to keep fighting the storm. I want you to keep battling the waves. And don't surrender to the contrary wind, because when progress seems impossible, if you'll just keep pushing in the right direction, Jesus will get to you before you give out. Oh yeah, He got to those disciples before they gave out, and He will get to you before you give out. He's an on-time God. Yes, He is. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. Jesus is an on-time God. Yes, He is. Brother, He'll be there right on time. Hallelujah. You might not can see Him, just like those disciples in the darkness did not know that their help was on the way. But Jesus was walking on the waves to them. And in my text, the disciples mistook Jesus for a ghost. But they took courage when they heard Him say, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And when Jesus got there, brother, He immediately took charge. Hallelujah. He took charge of that storm. And you know, Peter experienced the thrill of walking on the water too. He said, "If it be you, Jesus, bid me come unto you." And Jesus gave him the invitation, "Come." Peter got out of that boat and he walked on the water, brother, walking toward Jesus. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, Peter was able to walk on the water, brother. But when he got his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink and he cried out, "Jesus, save me." And I want you to know that Jesus refused to let him drown. Even though Peter's faith had faltered in that time, Jesus refused to let him drown. He could have said, "You look, your faith faltered. Just go ahead and drown." But when Peter's faith faltered and he began to sink, he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." There was a hand, brother, that reached down to him and pulled him up and saved him from drowning in the stormy waters. And you may be like that, Peter, here tonight, and your faith may have faltered. You may have felt your ground give out from under you. You may be sinking in the midst of the storm. But if you'll cry out to Jesus, brother, the same Jesus that bid you come and let you walk on the waters, He'll restore to you. Hallelujah. Your joy, your peace, your victory, and you can walk on water again. Hallelujah. Jesus wouldn't let him drown. He brought Peter back to the ship. He climbed on board the ship with the other disciples. He calmed the storm. He brought that ship safely into harbor. Brother, sometimes we sing a song. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. You don't always have to fight your storm forever. When Jesus intervenes, listen to me now. When Jesus intervenes, he takes charge. It looks like the storm was in charge. But when Jesus got there, Jesus took charge. He took charge of the storm. And I'm telling you, it don't matter what you're going through tonight. It may seem like that your troubles are in charge. But when Jesus gets there, Jesus takes charge of the storm. He crawled on board that ship. He made that storm dissipate. He brought peace to those waters and victory to his disciples and carried them across to the other side. I believe we can make it tonight, don't you? I believe that Jesus cares about where we are. I believe that Jesus cares about the storm that we're going through. And if we'll just call on him tonight, I believe Jesus will come walking to us on the water and give us relief from the stormy waters that we're in. Now, I don't know you, you know, I know some of you, and thank God for my friends here that I do know, but there's a lot of people here I don't know. But I felt like God wanted me to preach to you tonight that he's the master of the storm. And I know, I'm sure that there are people right here sitting on these pews that you're going through things and perhaps you've never gone through before. And it seems like that the troubles of the people of God, you know, are mounting in these last days. Pastors are experiencing such problems like we've never experienced before. Mamas and dads are going through deep valleys with their sons and their daughters. And grandmothers and grandfathers are praying in the night over grandchildren that have wandered away from the faith. And our hearts are broken over people that we know that are precious to us and that are departing from the faith. We've tried to pass it on from generation to generation. And it seems like they're dropping the baton and it's not getting carried on and our hearts are broken. But I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that hears and answers prayer. My wife testified to you tonight about how this song encouraged her heart. There's a miracle in the making for you today. And Jesus is a miracle working God. Nobody could have cut that storm but Jesus. But Jesus, when Jesus got there, he took charge, brother. And I'm saying that Jesus can take charge of whatever's going on in your life tonight and give you the victory. Oh, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I say, if you will ask, you shall receive. You hear me? I said, if you ask, you shall receive. If you will seek, you shall find. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. Son of God loves you. Jesus cares about you. He don't want you to perish. And you may be here and sinking tonight, but if you'll call on Jesus, listen to me now. You may be sinking here tonight, but if you'll call on Jesus, Jesus don't want you to drown in the waters of your tempest. Jesus will reach out a hand and pull you up tonight, and you will be rescued by the power of the Son of God, the power of his love. Sometimes we sing a song, love lifted me. Love lifted me. It was the love of God that found us when we were sinking in sin. While Sister Judy comes to the piano tonight, we're going to open up these altars. I'm confident that there is somebody here in this service that the Lord has spoken to your heart, that God laid this on my heart to preach to you that Jesus is the master of your storm. They didn't know in the midst of that storm that the weather was about to change, that Jesus was about to end their storm. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus will end your storm tonight. I don't know. But I'm telling you this. He'll take you through it, and there'll be a day. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. There will be a day that Jesus will say, that's enough. Your storm will end. He'll take charge. Oh, yeah. I want us to stand together tonight.
And take your broken heart, make you whole.
I believe if you'll step out tonight, come down to this altar. Raise your hands toward heaven. Say, Jesus, I need you to calm the storms of my life. I believe Jesus will take care of your storm.
He will calm the troubled
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on. Come on.
Take your broken heart and make you whole. And if the storms of your life are dark and cold, oh, he will calm the troubled.